Blog Talk Radio.
If I could help you to understand, I would. Very powerful song. See if I can think about it sometimes. Well, my brothers and sisters, this is Edemya. We're back again. Yes, back again, my brothers and sisters, for another very precious episode. Another very precious episode of Hidden Gospel Revealed. And I'm your host, Eddie Meow, of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. So very thankful to the Most High, yes, indeed, for the opportunity. Yes, for the opportunity to be back with you here again. Speak these very precious words. I say these very precious words. The Most High has granted me the blessing of His people. Hi, and I welcome you to the show. I thank the Most High. Every ear that He brings near. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He has told me that I have for Him some very important things for Him that I must do. He told me because of what I must do. He said to me that I would indeed accrue some very powerful friends as well as enemies. But He told me that in doing for Him that which He has asked of me, He said to me that I would have His protection and His guidance. For that, I am utmost thankful. The Most High has told me, yes, indeed, He's told me, that I must tell you things. Yes, indeed, that I must tell you things, that men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, to deny, to pervert, to silence, and if they could, my brothers and sisters, to destroy. He told me that these words that you hear tonight are very precious, very precious. But they're only for the most humble soul. Not everyone, my brothers and sisters, I repeat, not everyone is called to discern these things. They're very precious truths. I'm telling you now, they're very precious truths that some will not come to discover till for some it's actually too late. Why? I would call your attention to a scripture. The Messiah spoke when He lambasted such cities as Bethsaida and Chorazin. He said these words. The Messiah Himself said these words when He sought to speak to these people and they were hard-hearted, unwilling to listen. Yes, as other scriptures speak about this as well in Isaiah 8. The Messiah said to these people, said concerning these people, because they were hardly willing to listen. He said, I thank thee. Yes. In Matthew, Matthias, 11:25. Another scripture like it in Luke 10:21. He said, I thank thee, O my Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise, the men of understanding, supposedly of understanding. Hear them from these men who are proud, if you will, in their own understanding, and reveal them to babes. Why? My brothers and sisters, there are those who, having a personal agenda, not discerning as much as they need to know. I said not discerning as much as they need to know. Doctrines, ideals, insufficient. That because they would relate their point or seek to preserve a point, not giving consideration to all the Most High would require that His people must know that there be firmity among His people. These so often would neglect and twist doctrine to cater to the preservation of what they presume they know rather than the fullness of true knowledge. So He said, the Spirit of Yah is upon me to preach good tidings to the meek. Some in their pride, my brothers and sisters, are more concerned with their own agendas, their pulpits and thrones, than they are concerned with the genuine liberation of a people. Say, the Spirit of Yah is upon me to preach good tidings, the gospel. How about the pure, perfect word from above and all its purity, all its whole entirety of its ideals? For to know what's said, not know why it is said, is to miss the point. Said to release the captives. How about release men from those who hide the truth from them or twist the truth? To open the eyes of the blind, how about to compel men to be able to see beyond the misgivings? I said the misgivings. The obstacles resulting from men considering themselves wise but not knowing enough. I would ask you, my brothers and sisters, dare a man say to the Most High, when he seeks to explain more than he needs to know, that man needs to know? Dare a man tell the Most High that he knows enough? Shall a man be confirmed before the Most High, as if man declares what is sufficient that he know, in order to be confirmed, in order for him to be sealed, in order for him to be counted steadfast? Shall a man say that he knows enough to be firm, confirmed, steadfast, true? All the Most High has spoken by the mouth of his prophets. It is a common social coalescence and peace, common expectation, common communication with all his saints. So the man says that he knows, saying, this age, amidst so many nations divided under the constraints of those who, under the various nations, are divided for lack of knowledge. Shall men say to the Most High that they already know enough, as if to say that lacking knowledge, far from steadfast, they would tell the Most High that they are ready to enter into his kingdom? If there's a truth, my brothers and sisters, that needs to be known, shall a man be counted rude because he dares to speak it? In other words, what I'm saying to you is this. I'll give you an example. And this sort of thing pretty much has occurred. If someone sees someone walk into a school building, I believe a scenario like this has played out. Walk to a school building, someone carrying artillery assault rifles, loaded down with all sorts of armory. Seems prepared to annihilate many lives. And someone sees it that could maybe have to run around a corner, but still shout and let everyone know that there's danger in the building. Would he be kind of rude because he interrupted someone's class? Or would it be considered, my brothers and sisters, that such a one was less than loving, less than concerned, because he was silent and watched it all happen? Well, I happen to have a bit of knowledge, my brothers and sisters, not a little. I happen to have a gamut of knowledge. In fact, prophecies do say in advance that your leaders will never tell you. Am I to be accused by those who lack knowledge? Because I dare to cry aloud and spare not. There's a truth, my brothers and sisters, that is related in Isaiah 57. So many the Messiah would bring. In fact, the truth the Messiah would bring. And so many would reject because they had trusted their rulers, who the scriptures tell you in advance would not tell you these things. Am I to be accused? Because I dare do what the Most High told me that a prophet must. He told me he sends prophets to speak what others would not. I see lots of scripture in Isaiah 28. It says the Messiah will speak a word that is line upon line, precept upon precept, but to many people it will be like he's speaking a strange language. Hosea in the 8th chapter says, I wrote to them many great things out of my love, but my words they considered a strange thing. You ever stop to consider, my brothers and sisters, I've talked about this many times in this show, that there's much truth that ancient Rome slaughtered millions to silence from the minds, my brothers and sisters, even to eradicate and silence from communication. The book of Revelation intimates the same thing in the 6th chapter. Scriptures tell us in Amos 8:11-12 that there's a truth, my brothers and sisters. Scripture says men will go to and fro looking for the word of Yah and will not find it. Meaning that what men are preaching, wanted to call it the word of the Most High, because it is a word insufficient. It's not a word insufficient for salvation. It's not a word sufficient to release the captives. Is not a word sufficient to open the eyes of the blind? Is not a word sufficient, my brothers and sisters, to heal the relationship between the Most High and His people? And His people, my brothers and sisters, regardless of where or what has been their former orientation. Brothers and sisters, the word of Yah, the gospel, is a word that transcends all the nations. To release men from all bondage and captivity to those who would hide the truth from them among the nations. Blessed are they who will understand this. So ultimately, my brothers and sisters, the Most High does not consider it what men partially perceive as sufficient to be called His word. Scripture talks about Messiah in the last days. It says He'll rebuke all the nations. Out of His mouth cometh sharp two edged sword, with which He shall smite all the nations. He had a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Now, the scripture said He called His name the Word of Yah. It means that that exceeding word discerns the thoughts and intents of every heart, whether or not men are true to Yah or not. Is the Word of Yah part of His word, or is it all? The very word "word" there, Dabar, relates much more than just simply words. It means the inspired word, capacity to see not only what is said, but why it is said. It relates the very thoughts of the Most High. And everything the Most High has said, my brothers and sisters, is relative to all else that He has spoken. It's all entirely interrelated. The word of Yah is line upon line, precept upon precept. How dare men say that they've discerned that word if they know what is said, not know why it is said, and have not understood how it's all interrelated? Hear me, my brothers and sisters. There's a scripture that says to us at the 91st Psalm, and I want to talk about this. He said, because He has set His love upon me. How about because He has sought Him with all His heart? All the understanding the Most High will grant with all that is His being. Therefore I will deliver him. Psalm 91:14. I'll set him on high because he has known my name. I would have you to know, my brothers and sisters, I would have you to know, the Most High vouchsafes all His word, all His promise with His name. Did you hear me? All His word is vouchsafed with His name. All that is His contract, His covenant, is vouchsafed with His name. Shall man, my brothers and sisters, be said to have known the Most High? If, for instance, he comes to declare a word, as the scripture says, Messiah will. The scripture says in Acts 3:18-23, he comes for the restitution, restoration. How about the remembrance of all things? According to all that the Most High has spoken by the mouth of His holy prophets since the world began. There's a great truth contained in the law and the prophets, because society as it exists today is hardly aware of it. As the scripture says, whoever will not hearken to that prophet will be cut off from among the people. Meaning that without this word, it is not possible for any man to be saved. Without this word, in allegiance to this word, this truth, it's impossible for any man to be counted steadfast, confirmed, sealed, or worthy of preservation. Why? Without this word, it is not possible for a man's word or doctrine to be counted steadfast before the Most High. Without this word, it is not possible for a man to be counted worthy as an asset unto the kingdom of Yah. Without this word, my brothers and sisters, man still left subject to the estimations of his own heart is still not found worthy that it might be said in absolution that he is true to the King. What is that of which I speak? I want you to think about something, my brothers and sisters. Some of what I'm about to say, some of you have nothing with which to relate it. If Messiah comes, and he will, speaking the secret city prophecies, scriptures like those in Isaiah 25:1-3, It talks about that city from which Messiah himself must emerge. Like the scriptures say of him also at Zephaniah 2:15, at 3 through 3 and 6, talking about that city from which he must emerge. It becomes speaking, my brothers and sisters, concerning what I call in an article on my website, Early Church Origin, Origin of the Early Church, Forgotten Mutual Expectation of the Early Church. It comes to speak about those things that Rome sought to utterly silence from the mind. Shall it be said that men knew him who were not able to verify that his word is true? Shall it be said that men knew him, my brothers and sisters? If he speaks the word, the scriptures prophesied in advance that the rulers would not tell. If he speaks the word, my brothers and sisters, that the scripture says if you heard it, to understand it and believe it. It's because you heard it from the Most High, because the rulers wouldn't tell. Treacherous rulers. All of them across the earth. I'm telling you now, according to Psalms 2, taking counsel against the Most High, against his anointed, against the knowledge of this truth of which I'm speaking. Shall a man, my brothers and sisters, say that because he didn't know what he lacked, that he was whole? Let me repeat. Shall it be that if a man did not know that which he lacked, that he is whole? If he argues about trivial points and make actually, if you really think about it with all points considered, his arguments are mute. And that prevents him from understanding what he needs to know when someone wants to tell him. Is that man counted wise or is he counted a fool? Or did his suppositions, presumptuous suppositions that stood him in his way. Did they save or did they damn his soul? I run into situations like that all the time. People arguing about what they really don't understand, stand in the way of not only themselves but many others coming to comprehension. I'm saying a few things before I get into the main body of the discussion tonight. But I'll say something to you because it's important. On this show, I often speak about scripture from the Eastern reference point. I understand the church was in the East, not the West. The believers who anticipated the coming of the Messiah were in the East, not in the West. The people in the East, my brothers and sisters, being monotheists, realized that the only hope for peace was the eradication of every lying, deceptive voice. They knew, my brothers and sisters, that since the fall, the variant rulerships of the earth had compelled, because men had trust, that they put their trust in many variant rules, falling from faith. How about falling from faith in the will of one? Believing in a multitude of contradictions as if they could somehow be true to the Most High. They knew that their only hope for salvation, their only hope for gaining the kind of truth that would deliver them, that they no longer speak the lie. They knew there was a great need for discretion, that they not be beguiled by any false voice or false prophet, false prophecy, false expectation, false preaching. All prophecy in the scripture relating to the coming of Messiah relates again and again that he must eradicate. In fact, one scripture says, completely destroy out of the temple those who preach false gods. How about false standards? Think about it. The word of the Most High is a God to his people. What a man believes is a God to him. What about if man only believes part of the word of the Most High and does not believe all? Who is his God? And does he really understand, my brothers and sisters, who the Most High is? One scripture says it this way. He who says he knows him and keeps not his commandments is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Well, let us consider something about what this means. Many who say, they who say they keep his commandments. His commandments, my brothers and sisters, is not only what he has physically commanded that people must obey, in terms of deeds, laws, but commandments, my brothers and sisters, the mutual word, both in terms of a divine requirement, what the Most High has declared must be done, but also, my brothers and sisters, must be what must be preserved to be believed. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Oh, well, think about it. What did he say? Think not that I've come to destroy the law of the prophets. Not come to destroy, take away from, abolish in any way, but to teach it fully. Is it true to the command of the Most High, my brothers and sisters? True to the command of Messiah? Men say they love him and they only want to teach part of his word. Or if his greater word was taught, it's proven that they either don't want to believe it or lack the discretion to believe it. Maybe they have not loved him and sought him enough to be counted worthy to understand. I look at the book of John, Yohanan, 17th chapter. Messiah speaks book of those who were given to him as those who the Most High gave to him, because when he preached, Most High compelled them to understand his word, that he came forth from his Father. I think about the scripture in Matthew, as I said before. Messiah said, I thank thee, O my Father, creator of heaven and earth, that he's revealed these things to babes, but hidden from the wise, men who are prudent in their own understanding. Why? I said to you before, because some, if they had these words, they twist them to cater to their own constraints. But some, my brothers and sisters, just simply won't seek the truth enough, being proud in themselves, not to twist these words. Do we not understand that we have an obligation if we call upon the name of the Most High, being that his name is an oath, being that his name is what he uses, the vouchsafe contract and the covenant? Do we not understand that if we say we love him, we have an obligation to seek all his will? I did not bite my tongue. I said there's an obligation on the part of us all to seek all his will. There's an ancient adage and some scripts well known by ancient Hebrew sages. Didn't come into your King James Version, not in the form in which it more anciently was related, but it is there in John 1:1-3. Perhaps you might understand the implications what I'm talking about when I say these words to you. It talks about the name of the Most High. And it says, concerning the Most High, the Lord Most High, blessed be he. His name, blessed be he. You need to understand that concept of blessed. It means all that is in him was without contradiction. All things in him are one. No divisions, no strife. Common understanding. He is one. Most High, blessed be he. His name is in him, and he is in his name. He is in his name, and his name is in him. And his name is the Torah. Well, to understand this, realizing Torah relates his word, his law, and understanding that the word in and the word with is the same, is saying that all the collective of his word that he signs his name to relates the fullness of his character, his expectation. If men have not known what this is, and they miss very important points because of what they lack knowing, shall it be said their testimony was true to him? Something to think about, my brothers and sisters. The prophecies say when Messiah appears, as I told you before, many were entirely missing. One scripture says in Zephaniah, morning by morning, he brings justice to light. Zephaniah, talk about reading 2:15-3:6. Morning by morning, he brings justice to light. He does not fail. He doesn't preach a fallen word. But it says the wicked know no shame. Oh, we got stigma in the society about this word wicked. It actually means... it doesn't mean the person necessarily has an intent. Doesn't mean they necessarily have an intent to do evil. The word wicked is also the word for lawless. How about those who are untrained, undisciplined? know no shame. Don't discern that they're missing something very important. That in discerning this truth, it is a blasphemy against the name of the Most High. And men have considered themselves the harbingers of absolute truth. But there's a truth absolute that all truth is based upon. It should be a common expectation for all his people that because they lack this truth, everything they thought they knew means at the end of the day, nothing. And Isaiah 40 does say this. Isaiah 41 says if they don't know these things, whoever it is doesn't know these things, whoever teaches and does not know these things, he is an abomination, and so are those who follow them. That means not the full work of the Most High. Shocking words. Truth is what it is. Like I said, because Messiah must fulfill these prophecies, I call them the Secret City prophecies. If you look in the chat, you'll see a URL for an article that's on my website, www.hiddengospel.com, Secret City. Relates scriptures from Genesis to Revelation. It relates how Messiah said he would appear. How the prophets knew Messiah would appear. Explaining how you can see beyond the ways they try to codify things, where they translated things with a Greek or Greco-Roman lack of conscience to blind you not to discern what all the prophets said. It's there on my website, hiddengospel.com, at article Secret City Prophecies. I relate also on that site, like I said, there's another article, Early Church Origin, Mutual Expectation. Tribulation, another article, Tribulation 7365 AD, relating so much that Rome sought to utterly silence from the mind. Shall a man say that because his oppressor hears the truth from him, in order to set a man in a cage, that he is free because he only knows what the oppressor has taught and called viable as a citizen in his cage? Messiah said, if you're my disciples, you know the truth, and the truth will set you free. How about if you his disciples, he said he would teach you what others would not? That you might no longer be subject to such frail, inconclusive bodies of knowledge that, frankly, my brothers and sisters, without a full understanding are not knowledge at all and not wisdom. Most I told me the greatest wisdom is not what people think they know, but what they don't know. What they think they know, not giving all things consideration, he said, is not wisdom at all. Tried to speak to someone earlier today, I would have related much to him with regard to what the early church was really all about. Much evidence of it, Old Testament and New, even what was their anticipation. But this is someone who would rather argue with me about what was dominant in the East in terms of language. I want you to listen to me closely. Had much to tell him about some critical points. Very critical points about who the early church knew Messiah to be. And to know that is also know not to ignore so much very critical prophecy that if a man does not know, he will miss the point. To know what is said, not know why it is said, is to miss the point. It is to err. It is even to lie. I told him that about certain scriptures that are related from the Eastern vantage point, from the Aramaic. And because they're not common to the King James Version, remember King James also the one who wrote, not only they say was responsible for the translation of the King James Version, but also wrote a book on demonology. Something to be thought about there. Somebody who said he was a Protestant but would have put his mother Mary, Queen of Scots, back in power if he could have. Also sought to preserve such traditions as Easter by mistranslating the word Paschal or Pesach and put in Easter, what is it, Acts 12 and 4? Hey, took out the name Jacob. Some say Jacob, and called it the Apostle James and put it in his book. Wow. A lot to be thought about, my brothers and sisters, in terms of fixing a lot of things. But anyway, I was relating to him that, for instance, Revelation 6 and 12 calls, in fact, Messiah the King of the East. The King James Version, however, says kings. And because most don't understand that word is singular rather than plural, they don't understand how it links to Isaiah 41 and 1. Who has stood up this righteous one or righteous king from the east? Huh. I found a translation that actually calls him not just the righteous one from the east, but the king of the east. One who comes to expose all the lies, reveal the light the world would obscure, expose all the men that thought was light as darkness. But rather than look at that point, which is a point that never was elaborated, couldn't get it through, because he wanted to argue that Greek is a predominant language. What the predominant language is in the East? Well, he wanted to argue that the Peshitta Aramaic texts that are found in the London Museum, he said somebody told him, or he had investigated, he said, and said they are as late in their writing as the 8th century. Wanted to tell him so much. If the Aramaic translation, he said, of the New Testament came about in the 8th century, do you think somebody would have written it in Aramaic if the Aramaic language wasn't still being used? People talk about Greek being the dominant language also in the East. Why do you still have people speaking Arabic today? Arabic, Aramaic, and Hebrew share a common mother tongue. A lot of times the difference in the words is not so much in words and vocabulary as in dialectical. Some say salam, some say shalom. Do you dare to sit back and say, people in Arabic say assalamu alaikum. People in Hebrew might say shalom aleichem. You see the comparisons there? But they say as late as the 8th century, they say that as if the Aramaic translations came into existence in the 8th century. If that was the case, they were still using the language. Greek overran everything. Why do you still have Aramaic? Being spoken, as he said, as late in the 8th century. I can show evidence that as late as the 19th century, they found some people in the Assyrian mountains that were still speaking the native Aramaic. Say it was completely dead? What about the idea of the people we're talking about, Armenians, in the territories around close to Armenia, were still speaking Aramaic rather than the Greek, rather than the Roman, because they really didn't trust in the Romans. I want you to think about it. They've been slaughtered by them for many centuries. Do you really trust the language? I repeat, do you really trust the language of your oppressor to tell you your story? And you think the Greek was really, in all respects, that dominant, as if the biblical language that people might have preferred, especially if they spoke that language, would have been Aramaic or Hebrew? I think about the idea about how many documents in the East that Vespasian and Diocletian destroyed Roman rulers. Came in the years during Messiah. Well, let's put it like this. During the time Messiah prophesied of the destruction of Jerusalem and times thereafter, seeking to destroy the gospel. Think about it. If they left people to only have to read and understand them in the Greek, and Greek is a polytheist language, number one, do you really think that the Greek would be more reliable? I can tell you about a lot of words that are in the Greek text that the only way they could be there in the form that they are is because they came from a former Aramaic text. But I know that's one of those things a lot of people like to argue. Qumran Caves. Yes, they did declare some, there was some Greek text in the Qumran Caves, but the predominance were Hebrew and Aramaic. Do people really believe that there was no New Testament Hebrew, no New Testament Aramaic? What about the idea about what was called the Sassanid Empire, Shoshanid Empire, far reaches the territory called Persia? Sixth empire, primarily from the roughly in the early part of the 3rd century to the 7th century. Peoples who continually fought against Greco-Roman influence. Do you really think they wanted Greek as a predominant language? I see a lot of times in the East that people who spoke Greek were mistrusted. Look at some documents. Mistrusted in the East. Felt like they took the words, the Most High, and twisted them. Plus, remember, we're talking about Greek being a polytheist-based language versus the Hebrew and Aramaic being monotheist in essence. There's even concepts that exist in the Hebrew and Aramaic that there's no immediate word to relate this concept in its absolution, in its monotheist essence in the Greek. But there are those who still prefer the Greek. Why? Because Greco-Roman mind has dominance in society, to the weak, in other words, to the, some people say the victor goes to spoils. Hey, the victor tells history like he will. I see scriptures in the book of Joel, book of Zechariah. The Most High says he's going to regather his people against all Greco-Roman influence. Still, people would prefer to uphold the Greek as the dominant language, even for biblical text. I find it amazing, my brothers and sisters. I find it amazing that people will argue, not taking all things in consideration, the evidence even that we have to this day, to try to act as an obstacle against men discerning so many things that need to be understood, again, from an Eastern base. Rome didn't come to bring the faith to the East. They came to destroy it. They came to pollute it. 2 Thessalonians talks about the principalities and powers, if you compare it to Colossians 2. The principalities and powers, the powers of perdition, coming in to intrude upon the church, taking precedence, presiding over the temples, the churches. Lawless ones, wicked ones, those who won't consider everything the Most High has said, presiding over the churches, compelling people to do what? Prefer unrighteousness less than a fully composite, collaborative word. Cause men to believe lies. Think about it. You only have part of the truth. Somebody can, in a lot of ways, twist it out of context. At the end result, as many believe lies because they don't have enough truth. Kind of like looking at the scriptures talk about Messiah coming in the clouds. They didn't tell you that clouds is symbolic of a testimony. Look at Hebrews 12. It talks about clouds being a cloud of witness, a testimony. Scripture says they were all baptized in the same cloud. In 1 Corinthians, talking about the Spirit of the Most High, the Shekinah glory. How about the idea, my brothers and sisters, the clouds were also considered a harbinger of what was to come? You look at the clouds, saw them moving in a particular direction, saw them moving at a certain speed, blah, blah, blah. Darkness, either dark or lighter. And it let you know, because sometimes you saw clouds that were bright coming from the east, moving swiftly. You knew there was a hot wind coming. Sometimes coming from the west, where the seas were. That sea in particular. You saw them darkening, you figure it was rain coming. These are agricultural people. They did a lot of what they did according to what they saw on high. And it was a message to them of what's working on high. The scriptures talk about Messiah coming in the clouds. It's not talking about him coming from the sky. It's talking about him coming with a message from on high that will expose all the foolish doctrine of this world. The scriptures say he comes with upon swift clouds. Hey, in Isaiah 19, first part of the book. Scripture says he comes with a swift witness. Hey, he would testify against the sorcerers, those who lie, those who commit adultery. In that case, it means the spirit should contaminate the word. He talked about against those, he said, be a swift witness, against those who rob the labor of his wages. In other words, speak vain, insufficient doctrine, still leaving people unstable, twisted. Like I said, not knowing what is knowing what is said and not knowing why it is said, and missed the point. We live in a strange society, my brothers and sisters. There's a reason why the scriptures keep saying it over and over again. When Messiah comes, he's going to tell a lot of folks, just shut up. Listen to me, O ye isles. Hearken to me, O ye nations. Let my people renew their strength. In other words, if you let me speak, I can eradicate so many daggum illusions that are in your head. So that you might understand. It says he's going to have to make kings dust to his sword, driven stubble to his bow. He says he's going to have to destroy the temple, whole lot of these priests who are partial in the law. That's what Malachi said concerning the Lord whom you seek. That's what Isaiah said. He says, we talk about the Lord for whom you are waiting, him for you or whom you are waiting. Did they tell you the Messiah is going to have to silence a whole lot of folks because they're too daggum arrogant to listen? Blocking the opportunity for many to understand the truth might set them free? Why did they tell you that? Because the obstacles are them. Listen to me. 45,000 denominations out here. Everybody's saying something different. That's an obstacle of people coming to him for point of an absolution. What about if all those 45,000, because so many were murdered centuries ago, none of them speaking about these truths, that would keep your mind open to discern far beyond what is ordinary? Listen to what I'm saying. If you knew that in the first four centuries, they murdered literally millions upon millions to silence a particular truth, and you understood what's said in the book of Romans when it says, I'm desirous, my brethren, to 11:25-27. He said, I'm desirous, my brethren, that you should know this mystery, that you may not be wise in your own estimations. In other words, most of you might not want to accept it, but the scriptures tell us something, that most are considering themselves wise according to what they think they know, not knowing all they need to know. No. And considering themselves wise, according to what in so many ways is generations of cursed insubordination, dereliction of duty, neglect, lies, twisting the word. He says, for blindness in part has befallen Israel until the times of the Aramaics is this way. The times of the Gentiles comes to an end. The time of all the confusion of all these many different allegiances, perspectives, and opinions across the nations comes to an end. The time when it comes to the Messiah will bring people back from all the illusions that we have been tricked to trust in diaspora scattered among the nations. He says, a Savior will come out of Zion. It won't be according to the ways of all these derelict nations. He says, a Savior will come out of Zion. He will turn ungodliness from Jacob. He will come to deliver those who will turn from all these transgressions. Every misallegiance man has is a sin. What do you think he said? Convert the nations. Must be because of their sin, their separations. They compelled men to walk after other gods, other standards, other words, other cumulative words, and oftentimes unwilling to accept the greater words, lest men be recognized as foolish. He says in the Aramaic, it says, and then they will have all have the same covenant with him. Corollary to what's written in Isaiah 59. They shall have the same covenant with me. My words shall not depart from your mouth, nor the mouth of your descendants henceforth even forever. Relating to that scripture in Romans 11:25-27 is a latter-day prophecy. That I, in seeking to speak about these things, was I able to relate? The scripture says, the one that shall come, because they shall know from the rising sun to the west, or the west to the rising sun, there's none else but Yah. It's corollary to the scripture in Isaiah 45:6. Who is that one? But the scripture says, will renew the strength of the people, renew their discretion after the will of one rather than the pollutions of many. Wow. How much would have been said if folks thinking they know enough didn't act as obstacles against discerning the truth? That most don't even have anything to connect with just as the prophet said of old would be the case. I can only tell you, my brothers and sisters, there's a need to know these secret city prophecies, where the scripture said Messiah would appear, from whence, which is why you need to understand the last verse of Luke 17. They asked him where it would happen that the Messiah would be suffer rejection, not be discerned. Be like the days of Lot and Noah, where Lot and Noah both warned. Noah before a world destruction, Lot before a city. Say, where would this be? And he said, wherever the carcass is, there will the vultures gather. Did they tell you that scripture is from Isaiah 34? Everybody thinks they know something, but have they seen how all these things work together? Have they understood why the scripture says in Isaiah 28, the word of Messiah will be line upon line, precept upon precepts. Most not able to hear or understand his word because they have none of the precepts. These were the things that Rome sought to destroy from the mind. Prophecies say in advance that because of the wicked who have done violence against the law, when he speaks his word, they will not understand. Isaiah 50 says he would come saying, why when I spoke was there none to answer? When I called was there none to listen? When I spoke was there none to answer? Most people don't figure a word is significant unless their rulers have told them about it. Check out that website and find out all these things they're not telling you. It's very imperative, brothers and sisters, that you do. I'm relating principle now. Many times on this show, it's never would be enough time. 2 hours about the limit they give you. It would not be possible, I'm going to tell you that now, to relate all the prophecies, Old Testament to New, that relate to the secret city prophecies. It'd hardly be possible to relate all the scriptures that I have full command of to tell you who the early church knew Messiah Yeshua to be, who Messiah said he is when he says you should testify in all the churches of Revelation 22:16. He said, I'm the root and offspring of David and the bright morning star, who he said he was at that point. To ratify what is the real context of what he meant when he said, whoever will, let him come. Meaning, whoever would keep his commandments, let him come. Whoever will not twist his words, let him come. Whoever will seek all his words and not seek to denigrate any of it, let him come, unless he be set to a curse. Read Revelation 22:10 through 21. 22:12 or so from 21 to understand what I'm talking about. Everybody talking words, but not enough to help anyone. Sad situation in the world, my brothers and sisters. Sad situation. Everybody talking, but not enough words to understand when somebody starts collaborating all the words. But there's so many points people at the hand of their rulers have not known. I tell you, my brothers and sisters, many billions of people in the judgment. They said 2/3 of the world populace is going to perish because the rulers, they listened to their rulers. And wouldn't seek the greater word themselves. Many of my brothers and sisters are they, according to Isaiah 57, will mock the Most High, even Messiah himself, in the judgment, or seek to do so for a time. Because they were so busy believing that what they had been taught by their rulers was sufficient. My brothers and sisters, do you see all those scriptures in Revelation 6:12-7:2 that talks about all the rulers running for cover? Saying, hide us from the face of the Lamb and him who sits upon the throne, because it's known they were derelict in duty, didn't preach everything that should have been preached, wouldn't seek all that needed to be preached. Do you really think Pharaoh is going to set the people free of his own will? And tell you that your pastors, your priests, your rabbis, and your kings and presidents today are Pharaoh. They didn't tell you that they taught you a concept of Messiah, a Greco-Roman Christ that is only a Babylonian Nimrod in disguise. Oh, because they didn't tell you about who Messiah is as the one called the righteous Curtis. They took that from you. So you don't understand that Messiah has to come to expose everyone who's misrepresented his name. How about 45,000 denominations that never taught the whole word? They didn't tell you that Isaiah 41 Says Messiah appears, he's going to consider nobody's word as men have preached it to be entirely all the gospel, so he has to come preach it himself. They didn't tell you that, I know. My brothers and sisters, the scripture in Psalms, Psalm 91. And if we look at Luke, I'm looking, I just have a couple of minutes left now. Wow. Days to come, I want to elaborate more upon it. There are scriptures in Psalm 91 that can be compared to Luke 4, 9 to 12, relating that these prophecies are definitely considerate of Messiah, Psalm 91. And it says, because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. But it's also true for his people, but it's particular concerning him. He says, he shall call upon me. He has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him high because he has known my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him, and will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with life. And the word actually there means, could be also related to life forever, will I satisfy him and show him my salvation.
Well, 90 seconds.
I can only say this to you, my brothers and sisters, to make a long story short. The scripture saying that he will save, deliver those who not just know his name, but will ratify and accept fully his name. How about the fullness of his word? He didn't say that he would open his kingdom to a bunch of folks who want to set up factions, not all speaking according to the fullness of his design and desire. Says the name of the Most High, it says in 1 Corinthians 1:10, we all must speak the same thing, no strife and divisions among us. Read on to the third chapter and understand what I mean. How do so many seek to be an obstacle to so much truth because of so little they know professing to be wise? A lot of folks, my brother and sister, won't be able to follow the Lamb wherever he leads. But they just don't have enough of the facts to know that his word is true. Please, my brothers and sisters, check out those articles on my website, Secret City Prophecies, Early Church Origin, Mutual Expectation. Understand what the early church knew, that in this society, they say you're a good citizen. If that level of absolution you never attain. What they're really telling you is that the damnation of your soul is required to be a good citizen in this society. This is Babylon. To speak again, my brothers and sisters, this has been Eddie Meow, Covenant Remembrance Ministries. And to his might, and to his honor, and to his praise always, I thank the Most High for every ear that he brings near. Please, my brothers and sisters, if I've intruded upon many people's so-called show and parade, because it's necessary you understand something lest you be destroyed. But many will be destroyed, my brothers and sisters, because they didn't understand these words to be true. Don't get angry at me, because I tried to save your life. HiddenGospel.com, my brothers and sisters, Secret City Prophecies. You don't have learned that long to understand these things. Secret City Prophecies, articles like Early Church Origin, Mutual Expectation, has been forgotten. You need to know it. Article there called Tribulation 7365 AD. Find out what that was. Find out what it is they sought to hide from you. But the scripture says it would be by and large hidden from you to the very last day, which is why the scripture says Messiah will come suddenly as a thief in the night. Meaning the people didn't, your leaders didn't prepare you at all. Discover these things again, my brothers and sisters. Don't be caught off guard. Most High told me that I have some important things for him to do. It's to tell you things that men have done everything they could since the dawn of human fall to hide, deny, pervert, silence, and destroy. That's what he told me. He sends a prophet to speak what others would not. Question, in this day and age, how many will be able to understand a prophet in a society where it sought to keep hidden from you everything necessary to understand his words? Hosea 8th chapter, speaks of the word of a true servant in the last days. Many great things have I written them of my words, out of my law. For my words they considered a strange thing. They transgressed the covenant through violence against the law, and they cried, "Oh, our God, we know thee." Wow. Word is line upon line, precept upon precept, most of which most have never heard, certainly not in that context. Scripture says it's going to be a terror for many to understand the report in Isaiah 28. When they find that all they thought they knew was insufficient. Insufficient for them, we call it truly before the Most High spiritual. So much to tell you, so little time. A lot of truth there in those archives, my brothers and sisters. A lot of truth on that website. blogtalkradio.com/EDY1. Please go back through those archives. Please listen to the shows. I don't call this show Hidden Gospel Revealed without a reason. Most High appointed me to speak these very important words that others would not. Will you be prepared without them? Well, there's a reason why the Most High said they were important. I pray that you will ask Him, and He will find you worthy to know. But I'll tell you this, my brothers and sisters, there's a lot of folks who have been very presumptuous with the word of the Most High. And those who are presumptuous, well, they dare to presume the word of the Most High rather than get a clarity from Him. And have already proven that they would presume rather than seek to be certain in what they speak. First priority must be not to lie. A lot of folks, it doesn't make a difference. Most of them do not count such souls worthy to carry His word, or vessels, they'd be vessels of His word. So many, just to relate a point, will contrive something, a lie just to exalt themselves. Certainly not exalting the Most High when you presume a word or disrespect His word. Who is my brothers and sisters that wants to know the whole truth? That He dissuade no one. These are the ones the Most High reveals Himself to. Because their integrity will not allow them to lie. They know they must learn how not to. Till we speak again, my brothers and sisters, this has been Edomiah of Covenant Remembrance Ministries. To His might, to His honor, and His praise always. Hallelujah! I thank you all again for listening.